So one of the things people who want to be ministers have to do is spend time being a chaplain to people who are going through something hard in their lives, in a hospital, in a nursing home, in a prison. My chaplaincy experience was in a hospital. And one of the things I had to do, and I did this for 10 weeks, was walk into people's rooms and be whatever they needed to access their spiritual resources. We chaplains were explicitly told in this particular hospital by our supervisor that we were to offer to pray with everyone we visited. All the other student chaplains came from theistic backgrounds, UCC, Lutheran, Catholic, Muslim, and Southern Baptist, and simply nodded as if praying out loud was something they did every day. But this instruction struck fear into my Unitarian, Universalist, pagan heart. I hadn't prayed with words since I was a kid, and I had stopped at some point because I didn't feel like anyone was listening. I preferred the word meditate, and I thought of that as something I could do alone as I walked in the woods or on the beach, allowing myself to be open to the energy of the universe. Sometimes I used the language I had learned from my pagan circle, casting a spell, which was something I could do to shift my energy or my intentions around something I wanted to change my life. So I really had no idea what it might look like for me to pray out loud with someone else on their behalf. The first person I went to visit was this elderly black woman. I had read on her chart that she was Baptist. That's all I had. She's an elderly black woman and she's Baptist. And I went into her room and she was in her bed and I sat down in a chair next to her. And we breathed for a moment and had that, you know, kind of introverted, awkward silence that I tend to have with new people. And then I said, "So how are you doing?" And she said, "Well, I'm not feeling so great. There's this thing going on in my stomach. They're trying to check out what is going on with my digestive system. I'm a little nervous about it. I'm kind of scared. And my daughter, you know, my daughter is you know, she's having troubles with her car, so I don't know if she's going to be able to come here to visit me. And, you know, she's really kind of all I have. And she has a little baby. And, you know, so of course, even with the car, you know, she's got to devote most of her time to that." And she kept going. And she's telling me all these things. And I'm listening and I'm breathing and I'm so full of wonder that simply walking into her room and saying I'm a chaplain made me trustworthy of all of this. And so I relaxed and we just visited for a little while, and then I started to get up and I remembered, oh yeah, I'm supposed to offer to pray. And so I said, "Would you like to pray together?" And she said, "Well, yes, I would love that." And I went, "Oh, no." But she said yes, so I had to say "and." That was my job. So she put out her hands first, which made me go, "Oh, okay, great." And we held each other's hands, and I opened my mouth, and I have no idea now, you know, 6 years later, what it was that came out. I started with something like, "Oh God of our hearts, hear us." And I said her name, and I asked for care and for comfort. And I don't know what else. But what I know is what I felt. I felt her hands squeezing mine. And I heard her saying, "Thank you, Jesus." And I heard her saying, "Yes." And I heard her saying, "Thank you." And then a point came as I was speaking and she was chiming in more and more. A point came where I understood it was time to be quiet. And so I was, and she was. And we squeezed each other's hands. And I said, we pray in the name of love." And she said, "Amen. Thank you, Jesus." And I went, "Oh, first rule of improvisation is to agree, to say yes. If I'm to provide spiritual comfort or a way for a patient to find their own opening to spirit, then I have to agree to their understanding of spirit. I have to say, yes, God is in this room right between us. And beyond that, I have to allow myself to feel that yes. Once I've done that and we're starting from the same place, well, then we have the second rule. I have to build on what it is they have given me to start with. I have to say, O God of our hearts, or Holy Spirit of life and love, I feel you and I feel this person with whom I am sharing you, and thank you for that. A number of researchers and other people are learning about how these rules, the necessity of saying yes and, can increase understanding and relationship building in various settings. Caring for people with Alzheimer's is one example. People are finding that if they can affirm the experiences of their loved one with Alzheimer's, their interactions can actually become more pleasing to them both. This takes getting over the need to correct their loved one, to try to direct them back into the current reality, which in the examples I saw online just shut the person down. I watched a scenario that was used as an example of a mother and her son sitting on the porch of the son's new house, which was in a state neither of them had lived before. Apparently, he had recently moved. And so the mom is sitting in her chair, and the son is sitting in his little chair next to her, and there's a porch railing, and she says, I remember when I used to ride my bicycle up and down this street all the time. And in the first version of the scenario, the son says, Mom, you never lived here. And mom goes, But I remember Doreen and I, we used to get on our bikes and we used to ride up to that corner and we used to come back and oh, it was so much fun. And he says, Mom, you grew up in North Carolina. This is Georgia. You've never lived here. And she went, in the second version, she starts out the same way. I remember riding my bicycle up and down the street and the son says, Really? Tell me about that. And she does, completely out of her head, right? She tells him all about it, about the friend, what she looked like, what their bicycles looked like, where they went, the corner store. And he says, oh, that must have been so much fun. And she said, oh, it was. And she keeps going. Another set of articles I saw had to do with playing with our children. And the logic was very, very similar there. When we as adults can step into their world and play along, our interactions become both more fun and more meaningful. Amy Pesolano, who blogs at Umbrella Tree Cafe, tells it like this. Your child hands you a plastic banana and says, Nana wants to talk to you. Think about how you would respond. You could take the banana from your child and say, What do you mean Nana wants to talk to me? This isn't a phone, it's a banana. Bananas are for eating, silly. Or you could assume your child meant the actual banana wanted to talk to you and shut him down by telling him bananas can't talk. But where is the fun in that? In an improv comedy sketch, the scene would die there and your play session would also hit a brick wall. Or you could follow the rules of improv and see where this could go. Instead of correcting your child, let them take the lead. They are your partner in play, just as your fellow improv comedian is your partner in the scene. So follow the first rule and agree. Why, thank you, Johnny, you say, as you take the banana and put it up to your ear. But you can't stop there. You have to agree and add to the scene. Hello, Nana, how are you today? Johnny said you wanted to talk to me. Or perhaps you begin having a conversation with the banana as if it was it who wanted to talk to you. Either scenario could be quite fun. This can work at work, too. Bob Thorderson, a blogger for the software firm Scrubly, wrote about how, quote, improv is about adapting to the moment and advancing the scene. When it's done well, there's a flow and a wholeness that make it hard to believe it's not scripted, but there's an unconscious intelligence at work. Same with business, he writes. You can plan all you want, but once you're deep in the doing, you need to be able to adapt in the moment while still advancing the project. Stephanie Pescatelli told us a story last week when we were talking about some of the things we can learn from doing art, about participating in a collaborative art project during a session of the Courageous Conversations on White Supremacy Culture we have been having here at REEB, about how hard it was for her to be okay with an image that someone else drew that wasn't what she expected as they were doing this collaborative project, and about how eventually she came to understand that it was good for her to go through the process of accepting that image and adding to it. She didn't frame it this way, because that's this week's service, but it sounded to me like the participants had a chance to share that growth experience that the yes and can offer. And I have talked before about some of the impacts of my divorce on my way of looking at things. I'm finding this frame so useful here too. Once I passed through what's commonly known as these first four stages of grief, denial, anger, bargaining, and depression, well, I mean once I stopped bouncing among them, I found myself spending longer and longer periods of time in what some call the final stage, acceptance. What I'm learning is that acceptance is nothing more than a series of opportunities to say, yes, and. Not only that, I'm finding the more of these opportunities I take, the better things seem to go for me. Like, yes, my partner left me, and I feel really alone. And hey, look at all those people who've offered their time and company to help me process that. Yes, I only get to be with my kid half the time. Yes. And I get to have the house to myself half the time. Yes, there's nobody to help me navigate my finances and help me make decisions. And boy, is it empowering when I can get that stuff done on my own. What a great metaphor for life. We think we have a plan. We think we have autonomy, we think we have some measure of control, and then something happens that's totally unexpected. My internship supervisor used to say something like, I was just rolling along in this life, and then God said, hey, Jill, what if we try this? Sometimes, she said, I can say yes, bring it on, and figure out what to do with whatever turn it is that life has just offered me. And those times have been the most satisfying ones in terms of my own growth and learning. We've been practicing different kinds of creativity each week this month, and this week feels to me a little bit like a culmination. Creativity as expressed through the ability to agree and then add something of our own is a powerful tool for relationship changing, relationship building, and change making in the world. Practicing yes and way of being can help us be more present to people and situations in our lives that can give us the space to build off the ideas or the work of others. It gives us a chance to find out what happens when we let our relationships guide our actions rather than just doing what we think is best. It can provide a way to push back against the individualism in our culture that so isolates us from each other, and a way into more generative, nurturing relationships. It's part of building that brave space that we've talked about before, where we feel more willing to take risks because we welcome differences, because we know that mistakes are inevitable and okay, because we can hold each other accountable in shared understanding that we're here to grow and learn from each other. And it's a way to make room to let God or spirit or love shine through us. So after service, I'm going to give us a chance to practice some yes and together. I was going to do this during worship, and I chickened out. I have three bags here that have some things in them. And I will invite people to come up in groups of however many they want to, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. Grab a bag, find a corner, make up a story with what you find in your bag. Take turns. Somebody puts on a hat and says, "Once upon a time, there was a young woman who went on safari." You can take something else out of the bag and add to that story. Can you imagine if we did this in worship? You all would be freaking out. So we'll do this in a more safe place. I will leave the bags here. You all can play after you get your coffee or before. And leave everything amok when you're done. May we find the places we can say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Because we can't always, and I know that. But when we do, may we find the space to say yes and to say the and as well. May it be so. May we be so.